Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. I saw the funniest thing, Joy. There's a piece of video on the internet. I just think it's so funny. Of Mahomes rolling out against the Bills, and he throws it sidearm to Tyreek Hill, and it looks like a slider. It curves around. It bends the laws of football physics. It's just so funny. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
That's a game we're going to be talking about.
That is the ridiculous. It is just now they speed the video up, so it dramatizes the way the ball curved in. God, the talent we got now. And I will say this: as great as Mahomes is, what do all these quarterbacks have in common? Terry Bradshaw, Troy Aikman, Joe Montana, Steve Young, Dan Fouts, Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Breeze, Roger Staubach, Kenny Stabler, John Elway, Dan Marino, and Bart Starr. What?
Good coaches.
Great coaches. Not just good, like Don Shula. And don't get me wrong, the quarterback is more important. I mean, I'm kind of important in our marriage. I'm just not as statistically as important as my wife. It's really hard to do it without somebody great. And I am not in any way marginalizing the talent of Mahomes. But he's had these 5 and 6 game slumps with his mechanics. Not every coach can get you out of those. Vic Fangio's not getting you out of that. His ability, Breeze's ability, Sean Payton's ability with Breeze, Andy Reid, we've had these guys, Sean McVay. I mean, we knew Stafford would be better with the Rams than with the Lions, but I don't think there's a lot of other coaches that get him to the NFC Championship and get him to the highest quarterback rating in the league in the fourth quarter. So I do think when you get these like Svengalis, these offensive like masterminds, and there's like two or three in the league, Sean Payton, McVay, Shanahan, and I wouldn't even classify Shanahan with quarterbacks as much as I would McVay. These quarterbacks benefit greatly.
Look what Goff was before he got with McVay.
It was a bust.
Yes.
He was viewed as a bust. So the coaching right now is so remarkable. It is so good. That's what I like. These analytics, I'm not anti-analytics, but I do think they've hurt baseball because there's less activity. There's fewer hits.
Yeah.
So if I ran baseball, I would lower the mound, which has happened 24, 25 times. I would lower the mound. Better for hitters, more base runners, more action. In the NBA, I've always said this, with a three-point line, have I told you this before? I would get rid of the corner three.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you'd still have the three, but I've talked to coaches before. You can't defend. If Kevin Durant's sitting in the corner during the Warriors run, and you got Klay on one angle, and you got Steph up top, you can't defend it. So I like analytics, and I do like but I think football analytics are benefiting the game more, and the analytics are basically saying, go for it. Well, we like go for
it. Well, yeah, when the analytics are telling you to be more aggressive and less conservative,
it's better.
Then it's
to
better.
Win for the consumer.
Yes, yes.
It is.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Bet Super 6 wants the nation to stack the cash again for the 49ers-Rams NFC Championship game on Fox. Last week, the jackpot reached over $325,000. And they want to make it even higher this week. Scan the QR code and enter the NFC Championship contest for your shot at the growing jackpot. Colin, who wins this game and by how many points?
Very close, Rams. SoFi, Rams, Stafford, McVay against Mahomes, Andy Reid. That feels like 2022 football to me. Great quarterback play, great coaches, stars all over the team. Yeah. The Rams-Chiefs feels right to me. TJ Hushmanzada, 11 years in the NFL, former Bengal, joins us. I don't know. I do occasionally root for a better game. Like, I mean, when you were watching Green Bay and San Francisco, And I was just sitting there thinking, is Rodgers going to lose another one of these home favored games? I was like, man, Green Bay's out of the playoffs. Is that good for football? What did you make of that game, by the way? Now we're 5 days removed from it. What did you make of that meltdown by Green Bay?
I just felt like they gave the game away, like everybody watching this. Now, offensively, they didn't do much. Defensively, when your defense gives up 0 points, you should win the game.
That's right.
But this is what Aaron Rodgers has a problem with. When the game gets tight, he really only trusts Devontae Adams. He throws that deep post route to Adams when the deep crosser is coming open. But he didn't trust anybody else but Devontae. And so that's his gripe with the organization is go get me somebody that I feel like I can trust and go to in those moments. Special teams lost the game. You get a block field goal. You block a punt. You have 10 guys on the field in the last play of the game. You're probably not going to block the field goal, but at least give me 11 guys. But it was disappointing because for 2 years in a row, you're the number one seed. You get knocked out in the first game.
You know, I will say this. As I watched the Rams beat the Buccaneers, and I did think they were the much better team. I thought, you know, they got a little tight. But I am kind of – one of the things that's kind of shocking, I am surprised how good Von Miller is because he didn't do much in Denver. And I'm watching that, and I'm like, I'm surprised that OBJ has quickly ascended. I'm surprised that Von Miller – and part of me thinks I'm underestimating culture. I'm underestimating – like Stafford. I didn't think it was going to be this much of a difference. I thought it was better, obviously. But it's like there's something to be said. You take – I mean, you know, you went from the Bengals to the Ravens. It's like culture is really important. The Rams keep making all these big moves. They all work. And it tells me it's got something to do with, obviously, the coach, but the culture. Your thoughts on that?
It matters. And when I say it matters, it's the way the coaches conduct themselves around you, the way they treat you, the way they communicate with you. That matters. You may not have a say, but they make you think you have a say. And everybody in this situation is a grown man. Like I specifically think about the Ravens. Harbaugh's a special teams coach, and me and him would talk. What did I think about the game plan? What did I like? What I disliked? And whether he was listening to me or not, he made me feel like he was listening to me.
Sure.
And I guarantee I wasn't the only player he did that with. And so winning organizations and coaches that can relate to players, and it's that simple. McVay, he can relate to players. That pass to Cooper Kupp call, you hear him say, it's for the love of the game route. That's Eric Yarber, the receiver coach. He used to tell us that in college. You're not getting the ball, but you're going to clear it out for your buddy. We're going to call this for the love of the game route. Well, that came into, oh, this is going to win the game route when you see it's cover zero and Cooper Kupp got open. Just little stuff like that. The culture that the coaches create with players, we can communicate. It makes things so much easier, and it makes you want to be there and have fun and play.
You know, Peter King and I were talking about this earlier, and we both kind of agree on this, is that Tom is very intense and he loves structure, Tom Brady. He loves structure. And I think of you as a guy that's structured. You're organized, your family, your business. You crave structure. And some people are just, you've had teammates, Chad Ochocinco. They're a little loose. They're a little fun. They're not into structure, not into the details. And Brady, New England and Brady, even though he left, it was a hell of a fit for 20 years. Tampa and Bruce Arians, it's a little looser ship. And I think it played fine early. But I did, when you start listening to some of his comments this year about lack of focus and everybody's got to take care of their job, he's kind of sending these subtle signals out that it was like, I miss some of the New England structure. Go to your career. Did you ever get frustrated as somebody who's a fairly, you know, you're a guy that's a detail guy, you memorize the playbook, you're talking to coaches. Did you get frustrated with cultures, coaches, or players that weren't as intense and focused as you?
I'll give you a story really quick.
Take your time.
We're playing the Steelers on a Sunday night, and we had a player on the team that didn't show up to the Saturday night meeting. He was just sitting in his whole, he was sitting in the room. He didn't want to come to the meeting. Coaches went and got him. He comes to the meeting, kicks his feet up, and just kind of lays down. Long story short, they send him home. We sit in that meeting room, myself, Carson, the offensive coordinator, and the other receivers. Okay, this is what we're going to do. This is an adjustment we're going to make, blah, 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 blah. We get up the next day, and it's Sunday night. That player's back. He'd been sent home to Cincinnati. he's back now in Pittsburgh because they want him to play. And whoever they is, I don't want it. And so just little stuff like that. And you're like, on another team, that's not happening. They sent this behind back to Cincinnati. He's staying in Cincinnati. He goes back to Cincinnati and comes back to Pittsburgh. Short flight. And on other teams, that's just not going to happen. Tom Brady had it a certain way in New England. And some of those ways you don't like, and you get away that first year and you're like, oh, this is very refreshing. But then things start to set and you're like, ah, I wish it was. You want it to be in between because you didn't like what you had, but you really like what's going on in Tampa. You want that in between, and it's hard for him.
Yeah, no, I can sense it with him. It's interesting. I've never felt Aaron Rodgers was a perfect fit in Green Bay. He looks like a Los Angeles quarterback. He's an L.A. guy. He's got Hollywood friends. And I've always been, Favre, small town guy from Mississippi, Favre felt a little like Green Bay. Hunt, Fish, Wisconsin, golf. You know, it kind of felt like Aaron's never felt like a Packer. He's made it work. But I've always thought it's a weird fit. And Eli Manning never felt like a New Yorker, but he made it fit and he made it work. So it can work. It doesn't have to be perfect. But, I really do feel like Aaron, I've seen the Green Bay story. It's topped out. Let's try something new. You tell me what a professional athlete is thinking about when you've had success, you've got some money. I think Aaron in Denver, I don't think he cares where Mahomes plays. I just think part of Aaron is, I want something new. I want something new. And I get that. Your gut feeling, is he a Packer, a Bronco? What do you think he's going through right now?
I almost feel it's 100% he's going to the Denver Broncos. When you see Hackett get hired as the head coach, he interviewed well. He walked in there and they were blown away. You know what they were blown away with? If I get this job, this is where Aaron Rodgers wants to be. He's going to be here. That sold him. Because he knows the ins and outs of that agreement that was made between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. He knows what's going on. And so he relayed what him and Aaron Rodgers have discussed in that meeting, and he became the man after that. We can get Aaron Rodgers if we hire him. This is what we're going to do. And so I believe it's a foregone conclusion that Aaron Rodgers will be a Denver Bronco because of things that Hackett was privy to that he told the Broncos.
All right, finally, Chiefs, Bengals, who you got?
I may be picking with my heart over my head, but I'm going with the Bengals. I go back to the first game, Colin. The Chiefs scored 3 points in the second half, and they did a good job shutting the Bengals' run game down. That's because they had eight in the box, Ja'Marr Chase man-to-man. What are you going to do now? Are you going to now play a too high shell and give them the run? Or are you going to do something similar? I believe a smart coach will change. And if you change, that run game will open up. 4 weeks ago, they beat the Chiefs. They have a ton of confidence. That means a lot. Arrowhead Stadium and where the Seattle Seahawks play are by far and away the loudest outdoor stadiums that I've ever played in my life. That's going to present a problem. Don't turn the ball over with. That offensive line concerns me a ton. But they just did this 4 weeks ago, man. The Bengals is going in the Arrowhead, and they coming out with a dub.
Okay, Niners, Rams, SoFi Stadium, crowd's probably 50-50. Who you got?
Colin, the San Francisco 49ers started in 1990, beat the Rams 17 consecutive times. 1999, the Rams finally broke that 17-game win streak. They won a Super Bowl. Since then, they haven't lost more than 6 games in a row to the Niners. Well, it's 6 games now. The Rams will win the game and go on to win the Super Bowl.
How about that? Hey, L.A.'s nothing but winners, baby. We're all for it.
Yeah.
Man, maybe not the Lakers this year. TJ Hushmanzada, good seeing you, bud.
I appreciate it. You guys keep up the great work. Thank you.
He's just dropping dimes.
That's an interesting little nugget there.
Oh, crazy. All right, Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, TJ has some faith in his Bengals, and the Chiefs have already lost to the Bengals this season in week 17 in a thriller. And Andy Reid is warning the team not to overlook the Bengals in the AFC Championship on Sunday.
They made big plays on us, and
and both sides of the ball where they were able to slow us down and then pick it up on the offensive side. And so, you know, we've got to do a better job all the way around. They beat us. I mean, it wasn't a fluke. I mean, they beat us. And so they're a good football team.
Yep.
And it's important that we have a great week of preparation.
The Bengals beat the Chiefs on a last second field goal to win 34-31 in week 17.
Yeah, it was they moved the ball a lot.
It was a great game.
Great game.
Joe Burrow was 30 of 39, 446 yards and four touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase had 11 catches, three touchdowns and 266 yards. So the Chiefs are favored by 7.5 Bengals.
That's a lot of points. That's a lot of
Fox
points.
Bet, it does feel like a lot of points. I don't like to get too caught up into regular season matchups. I do think you can learn from them. Like, for example, I think that the Niners have a really good chance in this game because they have beaten the Rams a lot, six times in a row. Like, there's something there. But the Chiefs are going to be prepared, and they've been here before. That's it. That's all I got. The Bengals are able to do this. What we're seeing, four touchdowns, an incredible game against a team like the Chiefs. Like, they are a very capable team. It's why Joe Burrow is saying, I'm kind of tired of the underdog narrative, which, look, they are underdogs. In this situation, they should be underdogs. The Chiefs have been there before. They are going to have to play a great game. I think both of these matchups are, and you were just talking about this, like, this weekend can sometimes be like, you know, the casual fans sort of rooting for a matchup. Like, we're like, oh, it's great, everyone's here, like, nice seasons, but we really want these two teams to win.
I mean, Mahomes-Stafford feels big.
It does, but I'm okay with any of the matchups that we see.
Yeah,
like, I think it's going to be a great Super Bowl regardless, which is great for us as fans and the media, because no matter who gets in, there's great stories.
By the way, if the Rams get in, we're going to be as obnoxious. We've had a really good run here in L.A., great stars, great
you
wins.
You can't stand us, fancy Californians now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're going to really resent us Monday. Seriously.
So Sean Payton is leaving the Saints after 16 seasons with the team, and he said in his press conference this week that he didn't envision himself coaching in 2022. But during an appearance on the Dan Patrick Show, Payton said that his statement hasn't stopped a couple teams from calling him.
They would have to reach out to the Saints. And look, you know this. You can have a backdoor, hey, would you have any interest? That's happened maybe with a couple clubs, but I'm not looking at that path right now. At some point, I don't think I'm finished coaching, but I was excited to get two or three calls and texts from people in the television industry.
Yeah, how
but
about
you
that?
Have had teams back channel, third party.
The two.
Tampering.
Well, let's guess the two teams. Let's just guess them.
Cowboys.
No, they like McDaniels. Or they like McCarthy.
Wow. Yeah, but I mean, you don't think that Jerry has the power to send Sean Payton a text? Like, I like McCarthy publicly, but...
Who else? Seattle? No, because John Snyder, arm in arm with Pete Carroll.
I mean, what teams need coaches?
Let me just think about this for a second. Who would...
I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins reached out.
I could see that. Yeah, Dolphins. Let's put the Dolphins down.
I have no knowledge of that whatsoever. I'm just saying. I'm thinking of the teams that need coaches.
I mean, the Giants maybe, but would they realistically think he'd be interested in that circus? No.
No. Probably the Raiders.
I think that's right. Dolphins Raiders feels right.
This is based off of nothing other than my gut. It's zero journalistic integrity.
Spidey sense of what's happening.
And these guesses. Look, Sean Payton's going to be on television this fall. Like, he's not going to coach this fall. I think
if I ran Fox Sports, I'd say, I don't know what the number is. I'd probably say, here, just don't go anywhere else. Here's $3 million. We'll figure out where to use you. Because I don't know if he would be a game analyst.
You know, based off of the way that he's talking, that he's done coaching. So whatever network gets him, going to be for very long.
Yeah, it's a couple years.
So, you know, Sean's going to be great on television, and he'll do it for a season or two, depending on which coaching jobs are available whenever he's ready to come back to coaching. But, you know, he needed some time off. So I don't know why he would leave the Saints in a situation where he has full power and knows the situation if he's just going to start coaching again this fall.
Yeah, he wants the right quarterback fit. He wants to get a Matt LaFleur job where there's a really good organization with a star quarterback, and we get about one every 3 years. There'll be a great job opening about every 3 years. Green Bay LaFleur was a great opening.
So with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter of the Lakers-Sixers game last night, two Philly fans were ejected for a confrontation with Carmelo Anthony. He said that the fans were harassing him from the stands and felt the ejection was appropriate because the fans crossed the line.
It is what it is. It's some things were said, unacceptable. I'm cool with fans heckling, fans talking trash, cheering for their team, going over team. I'm all for that. But when you cross certain lines, as a man, that's what you're gonna see. That's what you're gonna get as you saw that. But I'm sure the people that's in charge will take care of it.
I will never understand the mentality of people in the stands talking crazy to an athlete.
You know what I thought about when I saw this? You and I wouldn't do that, right? You know, it's hard to. But here's what I thought about. Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and now Melo have had in moments with fans recently. And it's because of the proximity in basketball, the fans are right on the floor. You get this in the NFL too, but you don't hear it. But there's something. I think I feel like we're getting more of this. I feel like there's something about COVID and restrictions, and people are acting out because they feel they've been so restricted over the last couple of years that people are getting more courageous and angrier and more. I mean, is that the meathead right there? I kind of feel like, yeah, that's him.
I feel like people do feel
empowered.
They also feel empowered. It's a little bit of the social media thing. You can't possibly think that you're going to cause some sort of harm physically with your bare hands to Carmelo Anthony. I know everyone thinks that these basketball players and these athletes are like all soft, but they would literally pop your head off of your neck, literally physically remove your neck from your spine if they really wanted to. These are the strongest, most athletic men on earth.
Look at him. He's a meathead. So, I mean, the bottom line is, why are we getting more of this?
People feel bold. People feel like they can say and do whatever they want without any consequences. Anytime there are consequences to things, people complain about the athletes being too sensitive and it's cancel culture. People really believe in their minds they are entitled to behave and treat everyone however it is that they feel in that moment, and there will never be any consequences for their actions.
We're seeing it on airplanes.
Seeing it in public all the time. On social media. Yeah. People really believe in their minds there's no consequences to anything.
Yeah, I think people have been so cooped up and they feel restricted and limited, they're acting out more everywhere socially.
I also think that they really truly feel empowered, because it's as soon as somebody does something wrong, there's like a group of people that are going to run and say that Carmelo Anthony is being sensitive, which he's not.
Yeah.
He's allowed to be treated with dignity at his job.
Yeah.
Like there's a certain, we know you go to games, you boo, whatever. But when you're specifically targeting a grown man who cannot physically touch you because he will get sued or suspended or lose millions of dollars, you're not special. You're not tough. You're in fact a coward and a complete weirdo. And it's totally embarrassing.
Yeah.
You can't say that you're tough in a situation where the other person cannot do anything to retaliate.
I don't know what it is. All I know is I'm seeing more of it on airplanes and at stadiums. A lot of it. And to me, there's got to be a correlation to the restrictive nature of the COVID and the masks and people. Some people just can't handle it. They just literally on airplanes, they can't handle it. This thing is just unraveled.
They're weaker
people. Yes.
It is. You're weak. Like there's just, you are entitled and you are not. You're not as a person capable of understanding boundaries.
There we go. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hustler Turf, the brand lawn care pros use, trusted for years. Go to hustlerturf.com. There's a dealer near you, 1,400 nationwide dealers. All right, NFL championship games this weekend. His name is Jason McIntyre. We got a lot, because there's also, we don't know where Brady, Russell Wilson.
There's always great headlines to be had. Always, Colin.
Always great headlines. So let's start with the games first. Tomorrow's headlines today. Headline for the Bengals at the Chiefs.
It's a tough one to bet pre-flop, right? I can't get a vibe. We love the Chiefs, but Joe Burrow, January Joe Burrow, the headline will be Chiefs don't bungle this Bengals matchup. I like Kansas City to prevail, advance to the Super Bowl. But, Colin, this is going to be tough. I mean, I'm leaning toward the Bengals, actually. You know, you look at this Chiefs defense, and they're still not good. The season-long metrics aren't good. And I just wonder, the last good quarterbacks they faced, Josh Allen lit them up. Justin Herbert, you remember that game? Justin Herbert Thursday night tore him apart. And I just think Joe Burrow lit him up the last time with Ja'Marr Chase. Why can't he do it again? We're looking at an old defensive coordinator in Spagnuolo. What does he love to do? Blitz. You know what Burrow did against the Titans against the blitz? 10 for 10, 192 yards and a touchdown. You can't blitz Burrow. And I think at the same time, Kansas City is going to dominate offensively. So, you know, you're looking at a high-scoring game. I have bet the over in this one. I do wonder if, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to be as cool as he was last week. Colin, great stat from last week. Mahomes did not throw a pass over 20 yards for the first time in his career. The Buffalo Bills sat deep and said, we'll give you all the underneath stuff. You know, Tyreek Hill underneath. And he took it. And he ran with the football. I think he had 69 yards on the ground. Great game for Mahomes. Can he do that again? Or does he get greedy and say, I want Hardman deep? So I think it's a high-scoring game. I think the Chiefs win, but I would lean betting the Bengals here.
Tomorrow's headlines today, Niners at the Rams at SoFi.
Well, I have secured tickets for this one. I was going to invite you, but apparently you got a big party going on.
Very busy, yeah.
The headline will be McVay so finally beats Shanahan, snaps the six-game losing streak. Colin, this just comes down to me to Kyle Shanahan, a really good coach. We know that. And Jimmy Garoppolo kind of limited offensively, but Colin, fourth straight road game for the 49ers. Do you know how many teams in the history of the NFL have won four straight road game or won the fourth straight road game? Zero. Never been done before. This is their seventh road game in 9 weeks. And I know, you know, people will say, oh, Jason, come on. It's short travel. They're flying first class right down the coast. The wear and tear on this team at the end of that Packers game. Did you see Deebo Samuel limping? Trent Williams hasn't practiced this week.
No, they're banged up.
Elijah Mitchell, their running back, is hurt. This is a Rams team that's firing on all cylinders. And Colin, this basically comes down to, do you trust Matt Stafford? And that ultimately is the question. And I trusted him last week. Yeah. I gave out the Rams here. Great win. He was dynamic against the blitz. We know the 49ers don't want to blitz, right? They want to rush four because they have Bosa and company. I think Stafford gets it done. And Colin, this is not going to be popular, but I got to ask you, why is this line still 3.5? Why are the books not coming down to a flat 3? Why is that happening? Seriously, like, they must know something about this 49ers team. I think the Rams get them, and I think it's kind of a blowout. I know that's not going to be popular. I'll go 27-10.
All right.
Rams?
Yeah, not shocking. Tomorrow's headlines today. Let's do some off-season stuff. What's the headline going to be for Aaron Rodgers?
Got to start with your buddy, Aaron Rodgers, right? Yeah. You know, Aaron Rodgers is a prickly fellow. He's very ornery. The headline will be from rocky relationships to the Rocky Mountains.
Feels like it.
Denver feels like a lock, right? Nathaniel Hackett was hired to go to Denver. Interesting note on Hackett. He went to an AFC championship game with Blake Bortles.
Yes.
He made Bortles decent. I don't think he's going to make Rodgers, but relationships matter.
Yes.
And I think you had a good rant this week. I don't know where it was, maybe volume or here, about Rodgers and relationships. And like, this is his chance to make that hero's journey, you know? Leave Green Bay. The ship has sailed. It's over there.
Yeah.
Right? It's just
feels
not working.
Like it.
Get out of town. Go there, and you go to Denver, and you go with Hackett, and maybe you get Devontae Adams to come along with you. I think Denver has the pieces to make a trade, right? You got Surtain, the young cornerback. Jerry Jeudy. These guys are all expendable. You get Aaron Rodgers in there. Boom, you're right back in the mix. I think it makes sense for Rodgers. And Green Bay gets their guy, and Jordan Love, and Matt LaFleur wins, what, 6-7 games next year. He's a genius, of course, Matt LaFleur. But, you know, Pro Football Focus claims he's the best coach in the league.
Well.
Who do you eat well? That's garbage. Matt LaFleur? Come on.
Not my choice.
No.
Tomorrow's certainly. Headlines today. What's the headline for Tom Brady this offseason?
I'm surprised people are taking the bait on this one. It's like, you know, the fish, you're trying to hook the fish. The headline will be TB stays in TB with BA to spite AB. Well, you love it. The headline writers are getting their game on. This is great fodder for the media, right, Colin? The next 2 weeks, like this coming week is going to be slow ahead of the Super Bowl. But Tom Brady might retire. I mean, you could trot that out every day. This is basically Tom Brady saying, hey, guys, I need Godwin back. He's a free agent. We need him back despite the injury. We need Fournette back. We need to improve on defense. The defensive line was a joke. The secondary got lit up. We need to get better. And this is Tom Brady holding their feet to the fire. He's not going anywhere, Colin. This would be like, you know, 5,300 yards, I think 40 touchdowns, like MVP runner-up, and Tom Brady might leave and retire? No way. I'm not buying this Giselle stuff. Brady stays. Bucks right back in the mix next year.
Tomorrow's headlines today. Russell Wilson. What's the headline?
Yeah. Oh, Russell Wilson. He can't stay in Seattle, right? There's just no chance. The headline will be a brand new Daboll for Russ in New York. How about Russell Wilson, Brian Daboll joining forces in the Big Apple? I think this makes sense for Russell Wilson. Colin, he goes from the best division in football, NFC West, to arguably the weakest NFC East. I know the Eagles made the playoffs in Dallas, but Russ becomes the best quarterback in the division instantly. Brian Daboll, dynamic offensive coach. Like Russ is going to win 11 or 12 games there, even with like a shaky supporting cast. If you're the Giants, Colin, you say, you want draft picks? You want anybody on our roster? Go for it. We don't care. Take anyone. They don't really have a lot of good players. And Russ will make them instantly better. And I think Brian Daboll, with what he's done with Josh Allen in New York, that's a home run. And as a Jets fan, it makes me a little sad. I'm sure Joy, as a Miami fan, a little sad. We have to face Daboll and we don't get him in Miami. And Russ in New York, instant threat to win the NFC next year.
All right, finally, tomorrow's headlines today. Garoppolo, what's the headline for him this offseason?
Jimmy Garoppolo, Scala, I'm going to give you one of the best stats you'll ever hear about Garoppolo. But first, the headline will be from Golden City to Steel City, Jimmy Garoppolo to Pittsburgh. Here's a stat that blew my mind from Fox Research. Can you name the last quarterback to not throw a touchdown in the playoffs and get to the Super Bowl? You'll never guess who it is. It's Tom Brady in 2001. Jimmy Garoppolo, 2 games this season in the playoffs, 0 touchdown passes. Game managing the hell out of the 49ers. And what did Tom Brady do back in the day? He was a game manager with Belichick. Remember 2001? And if Garoppolo doesn't throw a touchdown, I think it's going to be low scoring for the Niners this week. He's going to go into the offseason. We know they're going to your guy Trey Lance in San Fran. I think Garoppolo in Pittsburgh makes a ton of sense. If you are the Niners, you say, hey, give me Minka Fitzpatrick. We'll give you Jimmy Garoppolo. Hey, give me whatever you can on defense. We'll use it. I think this makes sense, Colin. Jimmy G, Pittsburgh, you liking that?
I kind of am. We got to go. Speak for yourself around the corner. Good way to end it. It's the Herd.